Okay, see, it's like we did, according to my clock, it was something like 25 minutes. I think like a bit less. And see how you feel now and how you felt like 25 minutes ago in your body, just like in your body and like in your, it's just the feelings that you have. It is like, it doesn't take so long to shift ourselves into a better space. Yeah. This is yoga, and the yoga journey is basically from dukkha to sukha. Dukkha means suffering, or in other words, a bed space. Bed space. I like the Sanskrit terminology. Sometimes it's so rich. It's had many meanings, and one of the meanings that is really beautiful is bed space. Like we all find ourselves in bed space. Oftentimes we find ourselves there. And then sukha means good space. Sukha is good space. So dukkha and sukha. So the shift from dukkha to sukha needs action. It's like we cannot wait for someone, for something to happen that will shift us from dukkha to sukha, from a bad space to a good space. It requires effort, it requires our participation, it requires our actions. And this is the path, yeah? And we, if we are dependent completely externally on what will happen from the outside, and this, our happiness depends on what's happening externally, we will be miserable. Yeah? Because we cannot just wait for good things to happen for us. We need to do actions that makes us feel good, that makes us see the reality and the positive things about reality. And so on. And there is one rabbi that I probably spoke of a lot before, Rabbi Nachman. He had a motto, he had a really perfect slogan. Always in happiness. Be always in happiness. There is no despair in the world at all. There is no despair. There is a fly, but there is no despair. No despair in the world. Because when we are in despair, when we are sad, we are more likely far away from the divine, far away from ourselves, from the connection with ourselves. And we are in dukkha, we are in the bad space. And this is pulling us even further down. And sometimes we need to make ourselves happy. In one of his stories, he says a story of how it's like you just need sometimes to just laugh. You just even laugh about the whole situation. Like, think about it. It's so ridiculous sometimes. Yeah? It's like our own situation to have a self-humor to the whole situation in the world. It's like how everyone is reacting to this. In there are many funny points to that, yeah, as well. And of course that it's, I'm not saying that it's not a catastrophe, but there is also many funny points for it, and we need to look at that as well and to laugh about it and to laugh about ourselves in this situation. Because it's really helping us to move on and like to shift our consciousness. And as you already know, we talked about it so many times, the shift from dukkha to sukha, it's something that we do ourselves and we shift our consciousness. Why? We cannot shift the world. We cannot change the external world if we don't change our consciousness. It means like if we have someone that is annoying us, or if you have some politician that is doing stupid things, or if we have like many different things that are happening right now that we don't have any control of. We cannot control it. It's not something that is in our hands. So, but what is in our hands, is our own consciousness. We can choose how we see reality and how we react to reality. And the choice is, it's very important to see that. The choice is ours. Jean-Paul Sartre, the French philosopher, the existentialist, says that we had so many options. We always have options. At any given time, we have options. We have possibilities. Yeah? And it's up to us to choose one of these possibilities. Even he gives the example of someone who is sentenced to death, to execution of death. And even this person has possibilities of how to react to this situation, to how to react to these circumstances. We always have a choice. Maybe sometimes the choices will be limited, but we still have choices. And we have our own perspective. And I think one of the things that we have to be really attentive to right now is our consciousness and our perspective on reality. And we talked about it so many times of how the media can steal our perspective. Yeah? So it's like if we listen all day long to some perspective that is portrayed to us from certain people with interest, we will embrace this perspective as if it's our own. And we see the world from this perspective. And what I would like to suggest is to broaden our perspective, to take like away. And this is it's a very powerful theme, like, when we think about it. The thing is that we want to be aware that we have so much power and that we have something within us which is infinite, which is never changing, which is powerful, which is soulful. And we are not allowed to ignore these things in these times. Because if we ignore this divinity within ourselves, we are caught up in the game, and we are swept with the rivers of suffering that there is in the world right now. It's like if we go to Arjuna, the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is telling to Krishna that there is a war, and he doesn't really want to fight. He's the leader of the army, but he doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want to have this suffering and this like death, and to see the death of his relatives, and maybe that is the other army, and to see the death of himself, and to see the devastation of society with this crazy war. He doesn't want it. He says, no, I don't want Krishna. I don't want to do this. And Krishna is answering Arjuna in such a straightforward way. He says, what is death? Who dies? Who dies? And it's like, this is like in the beginning of the Gita, in beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, is the second chapter. First chapter, Krishna listens. He listens very carefully to all the complaints of Arjuna. And like the Arjuna is like very weak, and he doesn't want to fight, and he's like in a crisis. And it's like just before the war starts. And then Krishna's telling him, what's happening to you? It's not for you to complain like that. You have to know that there is something. What Krishna is saying to Arjuna, there is something that is always permanent, that never changes. It's within you. It will never die. It's never born. It's infinity. It's divinity that's within you. So when we have this perspective, and it takes Krishna later on 17 more chapters to explain to Arjuna, because it's not simple for us to understand. This is something that is very difficult for us to grasp, that this reality that we have, the external things that happens in our life, and like the thoughts that we are thinking, and the different experiences that we have, are limited. They are part of the samsara, what we call samsara. And samsara is another word for dukkha, for a bad space, for suffering, for the cycle of suffering. This is samsara. But when we are attached to all the external stuff, to our thoughts, to our habits, this is when we are attached to samsara. We are always in the bad space. But all of us here, and I say it with a lot of confidence, all of us here knows that this is not it. We have something more than that in life. We have something more to that in ourselves. We are not limited to just samsara. We are not limited to just suffering, to our thoughts, to our body, to our habits. There is something in us which is powerful, which is infinite, which is divine. And this is when we are surrendering to this point in ourselves, and we recognize it and we make connection to it, then we are invincible. Yeah, the yogis of Tibet called it the Vajra body. And the whole system is called Vajrayana. Vajra means indestructible. An indestructible body, indestructible soul that we have within ourselves. We have to connect to this point in ourselves. Otherwise, we are lost in samsara. We are attached to samsara. So, but see, when this is the reason why we do meditation, and this is the reason why we do all the practices, because it brings us into this feeling of divinity. It brings us into this attachment to the soul itself, to infinite. When we let go of all the thoughts, let go of all the identifications with the body, with the mind, we get to a space which is so much more vast and so unlimited, and we get a new perspective. So we'll get to the perspective point now. What I suggest is that we will have the perspective of divinity rather than the perspective of just the limited self. There is like many different terminologies, and I mixed all of these terminologies for us to have this kind of rich vocabulary for that, because each terminology brings different connotation, brings different understandings. So there is the small self and the big self. Yeah, the small self is seeing a very partial understanding of reality, have a very limited perspective. The big self, having a perspective that is like so much bigger. If I understand that I am not going to die, and this is really what we are speaking about here. Yeah, I truly believe in that. And I think the whole crisis is coming definitely from that, the fear of dying. Yeah. But if we understand that we are not going to die, that we have a root in us that always stays, that never goes anywhere, never dies, never, it was never born, it was always here. It's the essence of who we are. Then there is nothing to worry about, and there is nothing to be afraid of. Yeah? It's like, And it's not just a faith. It's not just a faith. It's really an understanding. It's really an experience that we can experience in this lifetime, the connection to the divine within. Yeah? And this is why we do the practice. Sometimes I get a bit annoyed or a bit judgmental of like some of the new age spirituality that we find today. Because the thing that happens there is that they bring us into the same equation that of the hungry ghosts. They say, do more yoga, you will be more healthy. Do more meditation, you will be more aware. It's like give and take kind of way of spirituality, which is like everything is like a commodity. Yeah? But here we are saying there is a much, much higher purpose of spirituality. It's not just to feel good, it's actually to find the truth of who we are. And the thing is that like this self, the true self is covered, the infinity is covered with layers and layers and layers of, sorry for the word, crap, you know? A lot of crap is just there and we cannot see it. And it's also dark, it's darkness that is like closing off from this infinity. And it's like it's our traumas that we had in life, the difficult experiences, is the conditioning that we have, it's the identifications that we have with that layers that prevent us to see the truth of who we are. Yeah? So we want to make the shift. And to do it, we need to take off the layers. And it's like, it's enough to have this understanding. It cannot be that this is life. It cannot be that the layers are the essence. As soon as we understand that, we made our first step. And then it might be a shaky journey and it might be a bumpy road, but we will get to this point of the self at some point or another. We'll have glimpses of it and we'll have lightning of that and we have enlightenment of that. And sometimes the layers will come and keep on covering, and our work is to take the layers off and to be in connection to the divinity all the time. And this is why we really stress out to practice every day. Practice every day. Practice yoga and meditation and dance. It's like, and get into this kind of feeling of like, oh, there is something. I don't need to think. I don't need to analyze. I don't need to identify. It's just there. There is something vibrant, alive, that is in me right now. And then the world looks different. And then we go back to, and we do our day and we have our obligations, we have our relationships, and like and we get again identifying with the layers of the covering of who we are, and then we need to do the work again every day. It's the same thing. Until we get to a point where we are able to see as well in reality and to operate from a deeper place. And to see it in others as well. Yeah. And so I think like that this period of time is so special. It's like I come to understand more and more that I heard Caroline Mace speaking, and someone asked in the conversation with her, when is it going to end? And she said, it's not going to end. And it's like some kind of, it's dropped. The understanding for me also dropped. It's like, this is, she continues saying, it's not going to end in this, in our lifetimes. And there were many young people listening as well. So it's not about like few years. It's like, it's many, many years. That this, we just started a new era. It's like, and as soon as we will accept that, it will be easier for us to continue. I see that in many, many reactions of people in many different ways. It's like trying to get back to normal is in a way becoming kind of a healthy. It's, there is no judgment about it. It's a healthy desire to go back to a point, a good space, to a point where there is a prosperity and there is peace and there is like possibilities that we can do. But it's just not going to happen because we just created a new normal. We are creating a new normal. We are creating a new way of being. And the process is going to continue and evolve for a long time now, and it will affect like even like 100 years from now will be changed from what have happened now. It's a big thing that have happened, and it's going to change the whole way. It is changing the whole way that we communicate with in so many different ways, the geopolitics, way the economy, the technology, the health, the public health, and many other things. It's going to affect culture. It's going to affect everything that we can think of. So we are about to just accept that this is the change that is happening right now in the world. And go along with that, yeah? So it's like as faster we adjust to this, it will be easier for us later on. So it's like, what can I do within these circumstances? And what can I do within in these circumstances in order to continue my life in a better way? I just had a talk with some people last week, and it's like, this is also, and I say it also to all of you, because I think it's very true to all of you as well. I just like my mentor this week, last week told me, you know, that like the people that you work with are not the average person. It's like they are the people that do have this kind of awareness, like you guys, like us, is not the average person in a way of like we have a bit of more, a different perspective, yeah? A different perspective to reality. And we are willing to connect to Zoom every Monday and to laugh and to dance and to do breath of fires and to commit ourselves into a practice and into a way of living and into efforts that most people are not willing to do. Yeah? So we have a greater potential, and I think we have a greater role right now. We have a very, very important role in this a lifetime, especially because of this crisis. And I think each and every one of us can find meaning in this crisis. You can find, what does it mean to me? Why did it happen right now in my life? It's not a coincidence. This happened to bring something out of us, bring something out of us to this world. And maybe we are in like different positions, like maybe Vicky, very young, and will give something like kind of an insight, kind of a push Vicky in order to do something that she would never do if there will be no crisis. And the other people in different points in their life, like Lori, it's like this crisis might bring tremendous things, tremendous powers and insights and wisdom and kindness that wouldn't have go out. It was in a potential there, but the crisis is actually helping us to manifest ourselves even better. And it would be different for each person individually, but I think the common theme here would be that all of us would be needed to share this perspective, to open up our eyes to more perspective and to help others to do that as well. And this was the whole thing that we spoke of in the Bodhisattva group and also in the 21 days. And this is really important, like to cultivate this more and more and more, this understanding that we are here for a reason and that this thing happened for a reason. It didn't happen just like it's a coincidence and I am a victim of these circumstances. We cannot live with this kind of understanding. We are not a victim. We are never a victim. We can victimize ourselves, but this is really not true. It's like this is the situation now and we can do so much in this situation. Yeah, and we need to allow ourselves to do that. And instead of being the victim in this situation, being very strong and reacting in a way that can be beneficial both for ourselves and for others. And yes, it's more difficult, but more difficult meaning more powerful as well. We grow from difficult times. We grow from difficult. When we are stressed out into a corner, we need to be creative. We need to be more powerful because it's not coming easily. But we are not giving up and we are not allowed to give up right now. We're allowed to have more and more motivation and more power within us to plow it through. Because there are many people that will not be able to do that. And we are there to help them. Yeah, this is really the time, the crisis is really the time to go and say, I'm going to recruit all my powers, all my forces in order to be creative and powerful in this crisis and to help myself and others. Yeah? We have no other choice. And it will be very personal for each one how it will manifest, but this is the common theme. Yeah? So just to recap, we have to go back to our source, to our essence with our practices. This is really helpful. It brings us a different perspective. It makes us fearless. And then we can operate in the world in these circumstances. Think about every time that we are looking at the situation and we say, why did it happen to me? We are actually in an illusion. We are in a victim mentality where we don't see that it is actually an opportunity. It is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to grow. It's an opportunity for the whole world to grow. You know how difficult was it in the world before. It was very difficult. There was many, many different things that were very negative. Many people were experiencing so much of despair and the communication is very bad between people. The segregation is very, very bad. And the meaning, essence, there was absence of essence and meaning also before the coronavirus. And I think this crisis came to teach us, if we are able to receive this lesson, essence and meaning, connection back to essence and meaning, and living life meaningfully. It's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. And we don't need to expect our leaders to take the hint and like to behave in the way that we expect them to behave. We have to do it ourselves. And this is, there is no other choice. There is no other choice. There is no other. And so it's like we need to work really hard. Yeah. And to keep on going. And life was difficult before that. All of you know that. Yeah. All of you know that life was difficult before that. It was not as shiny as we might remember. And it's like sometimes we think like, oh, before the coronavirus, everything was okay and everything was wonderful. Sorry for the word, but bullshit. It was not. It was so many difficult times, and the difficult times are there to teach us. And this crisis is pushing us even more and more and more until we will like be as creative as we can be in order to make it happen, in order to create more connection to truth. Yeah. So it's not worse than before. It's actually a greater opportunity for growth, for openness, for kindness that we can activate through us. We can channel through our body and mind as long as we can. Yeah. So this is like a bit of thoughts, and I'll be happy to hear you guys. I'll do something so that it will be easier for you guys even to share. I'll stop the recording, and then we can be feel free to share and to speak. We are not as many, so it would be nice to chat a bit and to be together in this conversation. So thank you everyone that have watched that, and have a great day, and keep on doing good.